guide and direct our hearts and speak to us of your love, of your purposes, and your ministry to us and to the world. And now, Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, I want to begin this morning with a bit of confession, telling you of a humbling moment of this past week for me. This past Wednesday was a very busy day, one of those full days, everything kind of piling on me. And I kept getting met with interruption after interruption, and it just kind of put me in a bad mood. If you don't know, one of my jobs is to represent the church to those in the community who have needs. So when people have needs and they're really needing help with food or with rent or with gas money, when they're on hard times, they'll come to the church and we can say, okay, we can help you this much. And that's one of my jobs. That's part of my job, is representing you and our congregation to the community and representing Jesus and his help to those who are in need. So Wednesday, very packed day, feeling behind on a lot of things. It was also for me a fast day, which also just makes me grumpy to begin with. And it's one of those days, and of course, I get three calls in a row of people asking for help. People in need who are at a low point in their lives so much that they needed to reach out to a church to ask for help. And I said, okay, fine. I will help you. Come meet me here at this time, and I'll give you a Kroger card. That's what I usually do, is Kroger cards are helpful for food and for gas and all sorts of things. So I go to Kroger, get this guy a card. He comes and meets me, and right behind him comes then two other people saying, we're homeless. We're in trouble. We heard that you help people. Can you please help us? And I said, okay, fine. And so I went back to Kroger, got another Kroger card, and while I'm on my way there, the whole time I'm just in my spirit grumbling, like, this is not what my day needed. It's a fast day, and these people make me go to Kroger twice and walk past all those streets. And just on the way back then to the church, I was one of those moments that the Holy Spirit just broke in and struck me and said, I felt like God was saying, what are you doing? What are you here for? Are you here for yourself? Or are you here to show the love of God to these people who are in real need? And I was rebuked. And I just kind of hung my head in a bit of shame. The worst part was, this isn't the worst part, I went home a few hours later, and I was thinking to my family, and we're using those Lenten jars that Shelley has gotten for our kids, where you pull out a strip of paper, every day has a Bible verse and a Lenten challenge. And I realized as I was going home, our Lenten challenge for the day with me and my kids was pray for the homeless and those in need. So I had to go and tell my kids, I failed at this today. I failed at this, and I need to repent of my attitude, because I didn't do what God was asking me. I wasn't being what he called me to be. But that question of what are you here for kind of just rang with me and echoed in my soul, that I'm here not for myself. I'm here to represent the love of God in this world, the love of God for this world. Do you know that God really loves this world? Truly loves this world. And maybe this is coming as a surprise to some of us, like it was to me on that day. But I want to draw this out, drawing our attention to this most famous of Bible verses in our gospel lesson. John 3:16, and we also want to look at verse 17 as well. If you read this, We'll read the gospel in miniature in these two verses. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Now, let's just take that first clause. For God so loved the world. God is the subject. The world is the object. The verb tying them together is love. So to know and understand more fully the love of God that binds together subject and object, let's start by trying to understand what's the world here. And then we can look at what God's love means. In John's writings, John wrote this gospel, he wrote three letters in the New Testament, he wrote Revelation. But in John's writings, the world, that phrase, cosmos, is almost always negative. It's almost always speaking of the system and the cultures and the societies that are in active and open rebellion against God and tempting the people of God into sin. The world is one of the three enemies of the Christian soul. The world, the flesh, and the devil. Those that are trying to draw us away from the love of God and the lordship of Jesus Christ. Tempting us day by day, moment by moment, to go off the narrow path. The world, then, is this broken, sinful, depraved, God-mocking, and in open rebellion against God. This is the world that loves and glorifies war, as we just saw yesterday, opening up again in the world. This is the world that the last few weeks, the last couple months, the Epstein files have revealed more of what this world really is. The kind of seedy underbelly of those who are the elites in our society. It just revealed the depravity and the wickedness, the cruelty, the selfishness, and the disdain for others that so many have. This is the world that glorifies debauchery, promotes the objectification of those image bearers of God. This is the world that rewards greed, looks down on poverty, the world that promotes addiction, where there's racism and prejudice and disdain for the other. The world that celebrates sin, that destroys people. The world that exalts the self at the expense of the most vulnerable. Do you know that the fastest growing corners of our economy come from pornography and gambling? Especially in recent years with online sports betting. Gambling has just taken off and it's destroying lives and families. This is the world where abortion is celebrated by many as a sacred right, the sacred right to kill our children in the womb. This world is so corrupted, compromised, and depraved and perishing in evil and darkness that even when the light came, the darkness tried to snuff it out. When the Lord of life came, the world put him to death. We are that kind of world. And we are implicated in this world. Because we are the world and the world is in us. We think about the Epstein files and know that there are files on you and me. There's a book of life someday where all will be revealed. Everything you and I have ever done, left undone. Everything that you're maybe confident now is left secret that no one's ever going to find out. It will be revealed. We are the world, as the old song says. And there is real evil and deep wickedness in this world that is perishing because it has rejected God. And it is actively rejecting him and his ways in almost every conceivable way. And God loves this world. There is nothing in this world that is deserving of God's love and deserving of his favor. God does not love the world because the world is worthy or lovable by any measure. God loves the world because he is love. And he sent his only begotten Son to prove it. The Greek word there is cosmos, which always represents everything, all inclusive. The world and everything in it. Nothing is excluded from the love of God being poured out in Christ. God loves this world and all who are in it, not desiring that any should perish. So into this world that's so compromised by evil, God's love endured and prevailed and took action, and he sent his Son on a rescue mission. The proof of the love of God is that he gave his Son, his only Son, the Son that he loves. He gave him in order to rescue the world that is perishing. This is called grace. That's the Bible word for the love of God in action. Grace. The love of God that we do not deserve, that we have not earned, that we cannot earn, but it comes from his heart because this is who he is. His love in action. That God in love sent his Son into a world that did not deserve it, that was mired in wickedness and sin, that could never be worthy of this great gift. He sent his Son in order to save this world. God sent his Son to you who do not deserve it, who are not worthy of it. Grace has been given to you, to me, and to the world. And of course, this grace must be received by faith, that whoever believes in the Son should not perish, but have eternal life. This is the only grounds for our salvation, the grace that is received by faith. Never something we deserve, never something we earn. Grace should be something that humbles us. Because we are not more loved by God than others, that we would be given grace and they would not. Because God's grace, the sending of his Son, is extended to the whole world. And it's only by believing in the Son. Not by how good you've been. Not by how morally you live. Not by who you vote for. It's only by believing in the Son, receiving that grace, that we are born again into eternal life. So this offer is available to all, from the lowest to the highest, the richest to the poorest, the most depraved to the most civil. Because God so loved the world. And we're told in verse 17, why Jesus came. He did not come to condemn this world that was already condemned, but to rescue it, to save it in himself. And this is really important for us to remember, that God in Christ does not desire to condemn the world, only to save it. The rescue mission that the love of God initiated in sending Jesus is not about judgment yet, but about redemption. God desires that the world would be saved through Jesus. That's the whole point, the whole purpose of his coming, to seek and to save the lost, as Jesus says in Luke 19. This salvation has to be received through faith, which includes, necessarily, faith includes repentance from sin. So if a person is unwilling to receive that love, to be changed in that love, then they cannot be saved. But the love of God is relentlessly, unfailingly reaching out to them at all times, calling them to receive that love, that grace, by faith and repentance. So we cannot make the error and try to say, as some do, that the only thing that matters is the love of God for you and for me and for all sinners who never need to change, who never need to repent, who never need to surrender their rebellion. We just say, well, God loves, God forgives, God will accept me no matter what. No, that's not what the Bible says. That's not what he has revealed to us. This posture of God will love me no matter what, and God will save me then no matter what, ironically, it doesn't take the love of God seriously enough. This posture that puts aside repentance and tries to just say God is always accepting and doesn't care about what I do doesn't actually take the love of God seriously. Because love cannot tolerate those things that are destroying the beloved. Love cannot tolerate seeing the beloved being dragged down to hell and condemnation. God requires us to repent and receive that love. So if God would be good, if he is truly just, there has to be justice. There has to be judgment for the sin that steals and kills and destroys. And the faith that makes a person born again includes repentance and surrender, declaring that Jesus, the Son, is my Savior and is my Lord. We cannot forget or neglect this. And we cannot forget or neglect the deeper foundation of God's work in this world is his love for this world. So, when you and I are sent out into the world, sent out into the dark places to shine the light of Christ, we cannot come with attitudes, postures, or words of condemnation, but with the love of God that has been shown forth in Christ to save, to rescue, to redeem those who are lost. And in doing this, we do need to call out sin and call people to repentance. But let us never, ever represent God to the world as one who condemns, only as the one whose love desires to save. We can be tempted, especially those of us in kind of the conservative, Bible-believing, Orthodox church, we can be tempted to sometimes posture ourselves as against the world. That the world is dark, evil, anti-God, and the enemy of the church. And there are some ways in which this is true. And we do need to make sure that we are unstained by the world, as James says. We do need to make sure that we do not conform ourselves to the patterns of this world, as Romans 12 says. We keep ourselves distinct from the world and the patterns of the world, so that we can love the world. How can we love the world if we're just conforming to its patterns and ways? If we look just like the world? No, we remain distinct from the world so that we can call them into the love of God, that they might be transformed. In Christ, we are not against the world. We are for the world, showing the longing of God for this world to be saved. We are not the judge of the world. That is in God's hands, and he will judge. Our task, here and now, today, and for our lives, as the church, is to be relentlessly for the world, for its blessing, for its repentance, for its salvation and sanctification. Because this is the world that God still loves and is still reaching out to save. The world that he gave his only begotten Son to redeem. This is what love does. It reaches out to save. God sent his beloved Son to sacrifice himself for the sins of the whole world. The cross of Christ is the love of God on full display. Jesus the Son bearing the sins of the world so that in faith we might put our trust in him as our Savior and Savior. and surrender to him as our Lord. So if there's ever any doubt about how God feels about the world, about his love, we look to the cross of Christ. That God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. God is still reaching out to men and women everywhere to believe in his Son, to be born again and saved. And the ministry of Christ in this world is never to condemn, but only to rescue. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Because God loves the world, Jesus the Son only ever reaches out to save. The voice of Christ is never one that condemns, but it only invites, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come to me and put aside your sin, lay down the arms of your rebellion, and surrender. Come and believe. Come and be born again into a new life. Because God loves you. So let me close by asking you, how are you representing God to the world? How are you showing people around you who Jesus is and what his heart is for them? What are you here for? Brothers and sisters, let us be a people who know and communicate the love of God for this world. Let us be a people who recognize each person we meet as made in the image of God, beloved by God, and one to whom Jesus is reaching out in love to save. Let us be a people who don't react with disgust or annoyance at those who are broken or hurting or in dire need, but can respond with the compassion of Christ. And let us be a people who are not surprised at the depravity of this world, but meet it not with scorn and disdain, but with compassion and calling it to repentance. Because God really does love this world. And he really does love you. And you who have been born again, who believe in him and confess Jesus as Lord and Savior, Jesus is now sending out into the world as his hands and feet, the body of Christ in this world, showing forth the love of God wherever we go. I want to close by praying for us one of our prayers for mission in our morning prayer daily office. Will you pray with me? Lord Jesus Christ, you stretched out your arms of love on the hard wood of the cross that everyone might come within the reach of your saving embrace. So clothe us in your spirit that we, reaching forth our hands in love, may bring those who do not know you to the knowledge and love of you for the honor of your name. Amen.